The Senate will come to order. The Secretary, please call the roll.
Allen, Ash, Alvarado Gill, Archuleta, Ashby, Atkins, Becker, Blakespear, Bradford, Caballero, Cortese, Daly, Dodd, Barrazo, Eggman, Glazer, Gonzalez, Grove, Hurtado, Jones, Laird, Limon, McGuire, Minjivar, Min, Newman, Wynn, Nilo, Ochoa-Bogue, Padilla, Portantino, Roth, Rubio, Sayarto, Skinner, Smallwood-Cuevas, Stern, Umberg, Wahab, Wiener, Wilk.
Members, a quorum is present. Members, like to invite the senators and our guests beyond the rail and in the gallery to please rise. We will be led in prayer this morning by Chaplain Sister Michelle Gorman, after which please remain standing for the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag. Sister Gorman.
And we gather in God's presence once again. Reverend Dr. King said, "The ultimate measure of a person is not where they stand in moments of comfort and convenience, but where they stand at times of challenge and controversy. The true neighbor will risk their position, their prestige, and even their life for the welfare of others." Gracious God of mercy and justice, as we face the challenges and opportunities of each day, help us to stand firm in our truth while respecting the dignity of other truths. Give us the courage to forego our own comfort and convenience for the benefit of those denied their basic human rights. And when we fail, may we know your continued mercy and love. We ask this in your name. Amen.
Thank you, Sister. Members and guests, please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag. All right, we're going to begin with our agenda. Privileges of the floor, there are none. Messages from the governor will be deemed read. Messages from the assembly will be deemed read. Reports of committee will be deemed read and amendments adopted. We'll move next to motions, resolutions, and notices. There are none at the desk. We'll move next to the consideration of the daily file. Bless you, Senator Roth. We'll move next to consideration of the daily file. First up is governor's appointments, and with that, we recognize Senator Laird.
Thank you very much, Mr. President. File item number one is the confirmation of Dr. Alexander Rizzulli for appointment to the California State Lottery Commission. He's a surgeon and medical director at Rizzulli Spine, is also staff at the Spine Center at Cedars-Sinai Medical Center. He was approved by the Rules Committee on February 14th. I respectfully ask for an aye vote.
Thank you, Senator Laird. Is there any discussion on this nominee? Any discussion? Seeing none, if the Secretary please call the roll.
Allen. Alvarado Gill. Aye. Archuleta. Aye. Ashby. Aye. Atkins. Aye. Becker. Aye. Blakespear. Aye. Bradford. Aye. Caballero. Aye. Cortese. Aye. Daly. Aye. Dodd. Aye. Durazo. Aye. Eggman. Glazer.
Aye.
Aye. Gonzalez. Aye. Grove. Aye. Hurtado. Aye. Jones. Aye. Laird. Aye. Limon. Aye. McGuire. Aye. Minjivar. Aye. Min. Aye. Newman. Aye. Wynn. Aye. Nilo. Aye. Ochoa-Bogue. Aye. Padilla. Aye. Portantino. Roth. Aye. Rubio. Aye. Sayarto. Aye. Skinner. Aye. Smallwood Cuevas. Aye. Stern. Aye. Umberg. Aye. Wahab. Aye. Wiener. Wilk. Aye.
Secretary, please call the absent members.
Allen. Aye. Eggman. Portantino. Wiener.
Senator Laird moves a call. Senator Laird, you have another nominee to present?
Yes.
It's yours.
File item two is the confirmation of Dr. David Carlisle, Dr. Sandra Hernandez, Dr. Richard Kronick, and J. Elizabeth Mitchell for appointment to the Health Care Affordability Board. All four of these appointees are well known and established and esteemed in their fields and bring decades of expertise in health policy, health care delivery, and access to care. They were approved by the Rules Committee on February 14th. I respectfully ask for an aye vote.
Thank you, Senator Laird. Recognizing Senator Jones.
Thank you, Mr. President and members. Members, in the Rules Committee last week, I abstained from a vote on these particular appointees because I wanted to dig a little bit deeper into the board and its responsibilities. Mr. President, with permission to read, please.
Without objection.
This is from the Republican analysis of SB 184, which was a budget trailer bill a couple of years ago. Creation of the Office of Healthcare Affordability to enforce healthcare price controls. This bill establishes a new bureaucracy to set healthcare cost targets, price controls for every sector of the healthcare market, including specific cost targets by the payer, provider, or insurance market. If a provider or insurer fails to comply with these new cost targets, the state will enforce corrective action plans and will assess escalating penalties. Members, my concern here today is that this board was put in place through a budget trailer bill with very little debate or disclosure to the body that many people on this floor voted for, with or without the knowledge that this board was being created. We'd all like to wave a magic wand and make healthcare more affordable and accessible for all that magic trick, easier said than done. The Office of Healthcare Affordability and its board are doomed to fail. They are both set up to impose price controls on every sector in healthcare, including specific cost targets by the payer, provider, and insurance market. If these cost targets are strictly enforced by the state, it will lead to underpaying hospitals, doctors, nurses, and staff for services provided, and to rationing care for Californians as the true costs of providing hospital and healthcare are completely ignored. We have seen what happens when healthcare price caps before. Attorney General Bonta imposed price caps upon the initial deal to rescue Madera Community Hospital. All other conditions of the sale were agreed to by the buyer and the seller except that one. Unsurprisingly, the deal fell through. Madera Community closed its doors, people died without access to the local emergency room, and now failing hospitals in California prefer to file bankruptcy because they know they will get a fair hearing in court than in California's political and regulatory jungle. And then the administration and the legislature had to clean up the mess by passing the Distressed Hospital Loan Program to save these hospitals who are already dependent upon insufficient federal and state reimbursements for health care. Yet here we are, being asked today to approve the appointment of people who will impose price controls on an already underfunded hospitals that they believe will simply cost too much. And members, I want to make very clear this morning that my opposition is not necessarily to the appointees, because I do believe they all are professionals and people of high character that are willing to serve the state in this capacity. My objection this morning is to the healthcare board, the healthcare affordability board itself, the way it was put into place, and the way that it's going to be managed. I urge rejection of these appointments to show the governor that he can't rig the system to impose price controls that will cause hospitals to close, cause health professionals to leave the state, and unfortunately lead to less accessibility for patients. Ladies and gentlemen on the Senate, in the history of the world, price controls has never solved a problem. It's only opened a Pandora's box of many more problems. I urge a no vote. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Jones. I want to recognize Senator Caballero.
Thank you, Mr. President. I had no intention of standing up to speak, but I do have to be very, very clear. I can't let it stand, the mischaracterization of the closing of Madera Hospital. I've been working on that hospital for the past year and a half, and that is the grossest mischaracterization of what happened. We don't need to go into that. I recommend that we confirm this appointment.
Thank you, Senator Caballero. Any further discussion or debate? Seeing none, Senator Laird, you may close.
Thank you very much, Mr. President. Let me just say briefly and clearly that that was an attempt to relitigate a bill that has already passed. But to the points that were made, that is exactly the discussion that we had in the Rules Committee. And I pressed on the very issues that were raised and determined that there was flexibility in this, that the first goal is a temporary one to see how this works, and that when I raised the issue of the distressed hospital in my own district, I really came away with the assurance that the flexibility allows for the consideration of different factors that go into every individual facility and how this is implemented. And it needs to be said, the reason this was enacted is that the healthcare costs have skyrocketed way above inflation, way above everything else, in a way that this will bring accountability, this will bring stability, and this will bring more resources to be able to go to healthcare, which is what we sorely need. These four people are distinguished in their field everywhere, whether it was national positions in federal administrations, whether it's been a local health district, whether it's somebody that bundles and buys health care in a way that they do it in an affordable way. They bring that experience to this goal to implement the bill that was passed by this body. I respectfully ask for an aye vote on the appointments.
All debate having ceased, Secretary, please call the roll.
Allen. Aye. Alrodigil. Aye. Archuleta. Aye. Ashby. Aye. Atkins. Aye. Becker. Aye. Blakespear. Aye. Bradford. Aye. Caballero. Aye. Cortese. Aye. Daly. Dodd. Aye. Durazo. Aye. Eggman. Aye. Glazer.
Aye.
Aye. Gonzalez. Aye. Grove. No. Hurtado. Aye. Jones. No. Laird. Aye. Limon. Aye. McGuire. Aye. Minjavar. Aye. Min. Aye. Newman. Aye. Wynn. Nilo. No. Ochoabo. Padilla. Aye. Portantino. Roth. Aye. Rubio. Aye. Sayarto. No. Skinner. Aye. Smallwood Cuevas. Aye. Stern. Aye. Umberg. Aye. Wahab. Aye. Weiner. Aye. Wilk.
Please call the absent members.
Daly. No. Wynn. No. Ochoabo. No. Portantino. Wilk.
On a vote of 31-6, the nominees are confirmed. Up next is Senator Laird for another nominee presentation. Senator Laird.
Thank you very much, Mr. President. This is the final appointment we'll be considering this morning. It's file item 3, the confirmation of Myra Alvarez for appointment to the Covered California Governing Board. She is the president of the Children's Partnership, a statewide organization that advances child health equity through research, policy, and community engagement. She was approved by the Rules Committee on February 14th. I respectfully ask for an aye vote.
Members, any discussion on this nominee? Any further discussion on this nominee? Seeing none, Secretary, please call the roll.
Allen. Aye. Alvarado Gill. Aye. Archuleta. Aye. Ashby. Aye. Atkins. Aye. Becker. Aye. Blakespear. Aye. Bradford. Aye. Caballero. Aye. Cortese. Aye. Daly. Dodd. Aye. Durazo. Aye. Eggman. Aye. Glazer. Aye. Gonzalez. Aye. Grove. Aye. Hurtado. Aye. Jones. No. Laird. Aye. Limon. McGuire. Aye. Minjivar. Aye. Min. Aye. Newman. Aye. Wynn. No. Nilo. No. Ochoa-Bo. Padilla. Aye. Portantino. Roth. Aye. Rubio. Aye. Sayarto. No. Skinner. Aye. Smallwood-Cuevas. Aye. Stern. Aye. Umberg. Aye. Wahab. Aye. Wiener. Aye. Wilk.
Please call the absent members.
Daly. No. Limon. Aye. Ochoa-Bo. Portantino. Wilk. Grove. I don't know.
Great. Well, on a vote of 31-6, the nominee is confirmed. Members, we're going to move back to file item one. Ask the secretary to pull that matter off the call and call the roll.
Eggman. Aye. Portantino. Wiener. Aye.
On a vote of 39-0, the nominee is confirmed. Members, we're going to move next to Senate third reading. We have three items on the docket. Excuse me, unfinished business first. And that's file item number four, back for concurrence. This is SB 400. Secretary, please read.
Senate Bill 400 by Senator Wahab, an act relating to peace officers.
Senator Wahab, the floor is yours.
Thank you. I rise to request an aye vote on SB 400. We last voted on SB 400 in September and it received bipartisan support with 100% of the Senate voting in favor of the bill. When an officer is terminated and a sustained finding about that officer's conduct is made, SB 400 clarifies that law enforcement agencies may report about disclosable incidents of misconduct even when no public records request is made. The passage of SB 400 will improve transparency and trust between law enforcement agencies and the communities they serve by providing access to critical community information in a timely manner. These are chaptering out amendments, and there is no opposition to this bill. I respectfully ask for an aye vote.
Any further discussion on this item? It is eligible for unanimous roll call. Seeing no objections, ayes 39, no zero. Assembly amendments are concurred in. All right, we're going to move next to Senate third reading. Two items on the docket for today, file items number 9 and number 12. First up is file item number 9 by Senator Dodd. He's prepared. Secretary, please read.
Senate Concurrent Resolution 105 by Senator Dodd relative to Eating Disorders Awareness Week.
Senator Dodd.
Mr. President, members, SCR 105 seeks to recognize the week of February 26, 2024 to March 3, 2024 as Eating Disorders Awareness Week. This annual recognition raises critical awareness about the realities of eating disorders while providing hope, support, and visibility to individuals with eating disorders and their families. I've given this resolution almost every year since I've been in the legislature. My family went through this with one of my daughters, and it is one of the most incredibly devastating things to hit families. And when families can pool together and get the services and support they need, it does work, but it's a life issue at best. And sadly, in the U.S., 28,800,000 people will suffer from eating disorders at some time in their life. Eating disorders are serious illnesses, not lifestyle choices. In fact, eating disorders have the second highest mortality rate of any mental health disorder. Eating Disorders Awareness Week will encourage people to share their experiences and highlight the importance of screenings for the early detection and intervention of eating disorders. I respectfully ask for your aye vote.
Thank you, Senator Dodd. Any further discussion on this resolution? Seeing none, this is eligible for unanimous roll call. Without objection, ayes 39, no zero, the resolution is adopted. Moving next to file item number 12, SCR 108, by Senator Hurtado. Secretary, please read.
Senate Concurrent Resolution 108 by Senator Hurtado relative to Wear Red Day and American Heart Month.
Senator Hurtado.
Thank you, Mr. President and members. I rise today to present Senate Concurrent Resolution 108, which would recognize February 2024 as Wear Red Day, American Heart Month. Cardiovascular disease claims more lives of women than all forms of cancer combined, and yet only 44% of women recognize that cardiovascular disease is the greatest health threat. Most cardiac and stroke events can be prevented through education and lifestyle changes such as moving more, eating smart, and managing blood pressure. There are effective solutions to this problem: awareness and education. CPR, especially, if performed immediately, can double or triple a person's chance of survival. And only about 46% of people who experience cardio arrest receive CPR from people nearby while waiting for emergency responders to arrive. By increasing awareness, speaking out about heart disease, and learning CPR and empowering women to reduce the risk for cardiovascular diseases, we can save thousands of lives each year. SCR reminds us that we must continue to raise awareness about heart disease and urge every household to learn CPR. I respectfully urge an aye vote on this.
Thank you, Senator Hurtado. Senator Dolley, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Mr. President. Members, I rise too in support of SCR 108, who has just recently went through some heart issues in our family. And I want to say a couple of things. Number one, listen to your body, and when it's talking to you, be your advocate, because at the end of the day, it can be missed very easily, and especially for women. So I want to stand up and just say that, because you need to be your advocate, and you need to listen to your body. It's very important. So for those reasons, I stand up and support SCR 108.
Thank you, Senator Dolley. Any further discussion on this resolution? Any further discussion? Seeing none, Senator Hurtado, you may close.
Thank you. I respectfully ask for an aye vote.
All right, this is eligible for unanimous roll call. Seeing no objections, ayes 39, no 0. The resolution is adopted. Members, we're going to return now to motions and resolutions. This is the time to address adjourned memories. I'd like to recognize Senator Umberg.
Thank you, Mr. President and colleagues. I rise to honor the life and the memory of Josefina Ramirez Nocena. Her friends called her Josie. Josefina was a member of the Capital community for over 20 years and passed away unexpectedly in October of 2023. Josie was born on December 30, 1980, to Josefina and Ramiro Ramirez in Los Angeles. As the third of four sisters, Josie cherished a strong and beautiful bond with her sisters, Linda, Vicky, and Letty, who she loved dearly. Her family is well known in West Anaheim in Orange County as passionate civil leaders. As a first-generation Mexican-American family, a commitment to education was developed from within and nurtured by her experience in the Puente program and participation in the Chicano Latino Youth Leadership Program. In 1999, Josie graduated from Magnolia High in Anaheim. Josie went on to double major in Chicano Studies and Political Science at the University of California, Riverside, where she was also active in student government. After graduating from UCR, Josie moved to Sacramento for the Capital Assembly Fellowship Program in 2003, where her career in public policy and community leadership began. She continued in public service as a legislative aide to Assemblymember Jackie Goldberg. And from there, she went on to hold various leadership positions in both the public and private sector. Josie was recognized for her strong education advocacy efforts and passion for policy reform to help historically underserved communities. She was a fierce leader and advocate for education reform, and most recently served as director for early childhood and dual language and English learners for Children Now. In 2003, Josie met Curtis Nocene at the state capitol and married on October 2nd. 2010, she went on to have two beautiful children, Olivia and Mateo. Josie held many titles and dedicated her time to many causes, but her top priority was Olivia and Mateo, who filled her life with love, pride, joy, and adventure, making mom her most important title. Her legacy of kindness, love, respect, equality, and faith lives on through her children. Josie was a consistent source of support to her family and friends, always made time to mentor and support women in particular, and her warm and positive energy will always be remembered by the countless lives she touched here in the Capitol and around the state of California. Josie's smile and infectious laugh, her compassion and love for community, her faith and her cultural roots defined her colorful and full life. In addition to spending time with her family and children, Josie enjoyed traveling, meeting friends and comrades, and for coffee, dedicating time to her godson, hiking, gardening, and serving her community as a member of the Matsuyama Elementary School PTA, a member of the St. Anthony's Parish and Sacramento Japanese United Methodist Church communities, and volunteering for various local causes. Josie is survived by her partner, Curtis, her children, Olivia and Mateo, her parents, Josefina and Ramiro, in-laws, sisters, Linda, Leticia, Vicky, brothers-in-law, niece, and many friends. I ask that we adjourn in memory of Josefina Ramirez-Nocena.
Thank you, Senator Umberg. On this adjournment, I want to recognize Senator Ashby.
Thank you very much. Just briefly want to add that while she made her mark in her hometown, she also made a big mark in Sacramento. And Josie's loss left many, many people reeling. The many moms that she was working with at the PTA, all of her kids' sports. She's a big member of the Pocket Greenhaven community, as well as the Capital community, a young mom with, 10-year-old and 5-year-old. And our hearts go out to Olivia and Mateo and to her many, many friends who are still struggling with this loss. Thank you for the wonderful memorial. And on behalf of Senate District 8, we miss her too.
Thank you, Senator Ashby and Senator Umberg. Senate extends its condolences to her family and friends. If you please bring her name forward so she can be properly memorialized in the Senate Journal. I'd like to recognize next up Senator Eggman.
Thank you, Mr. President and members. I rise today to ask that we adjourn in the memory of one of my very close friends, Danny Jimenez. Danny was born February 23rd, 1956, in the little town of Tracy. He grew up in a big farm-working community with his parents, his siblings. He was the youngest boy of the family. He grew up in farmworker housing out in the islands, out in the Delta Islands. And his family was very poor, and eventually his father left, and they struggled with a lot of abuse and poverty. But Danny was one who, it didn't matter the situation, it was going to be fabulous. Out working in the fields, he would still have his long-sleeve white shirts on with his cufflinks and decorate his little cow stanchion with fabric and lights, because lights and fabric made everything better. He graduated from Tracy High and then went on to Delta Community College, where he got a certificate in hospitality, and he certainly was the biggest host anybody would ever have the joy of running across. He started working, that was in the 70s and 80s, so he spent a lot of time in San Francisco. He spent a lot of time having fun a lot of places. He worked in hospitality coast to coast, up in the Catskills in New York to San Francisco, and there was always a story to be told, and an extension of love to be formed. His stories sometimes bordered on maybe not quite true, but the way he would tell them, they were believable, and they were his stories, and that's just the way he was. He lived in England for a while, married to a count, she said, and came back to the States sometime later. We know that was true. When he was in his late 20s, and let me say, Danny grew up in a family that danced, and he danced, and there was always a long line at the Jamaica, at the Mexican-American place where people danced, or at any club. I will tell you, in my 50s, he had me up over his head, twirling me once at an event where I had to scream at him to please put me down. It was unsightly for a council member to be up in the air. We met as soon as I moved to Stockton, and I was accepted into his circle of friends, which was wide and varied, and there were so many names for Danny. Let me say, he got in a terrible car wreck in his 20s, in which he was a very good-looking man, big, buff, but could dress up like a lady in 2 seconds, and he crushed his face. He lost an eye, and he crushed his face. And his sister at the time said, oh, he's not going to be able to make it. He's such a peacock. How could he go on? But he truly felt like he was visited by God. He was a very religious person. He felt like God came to him, blessed him, put a veil over him, and told him, now you go forward in love. So he felt like he had a second chance at life, and love he did. There was nobody, no estate sale that was safe from him, no party that was safe. He was a good host as he was a guest. He always came. He always brought props. He always came with love. He had a very wide circle of friends, from anybody he worked for with at Porphy's to the jewelry. He would tell me stories of upselling people a lot of jewelry. I'm like, but girl, they can't afford it. He goes, but girl, they feel fabulous. And look what they're going to give to their girlfriend. They're going to be the just making people feel good was his calling in life and what he took more than anything else. He drew his last breath. He developed colon cancer 12 years ago and lived with colon cancer and thrived with colon cancer, still having parties. It would take him back and forth to chemo. At one point, he got down to 145 from a man who bordered around 300. But still, he fought back. And still, he would sometimes when he would have bad pain, he would say, girl, I just open up the drawer, put my finger in it, and close it real hard, because that takes the pain to my finger and away from everything else. Every hospital he visited, he was the favorite on the ward because he would bring his fabric. He had to have prints over the walls. I can't tell you the amount of events we went to where he would walk up to a crowd, and I would think, oh, my God, we're all going to die. If you're gay, you go into some crowds, and you think, this is not a friendly place for us. Uh-oh, we're in trouble. And Danny would go up, and before I knew it, these big guys would be dressed with hats on and jewelry and purses and camping it up. And every time we would leave, people would say, when is Danny coming back? One of our dear friends moved to Puerto Vallarta about a decade ago. Danny has made his home between Puerto Vallarta and here and had a good time. They've had funerals for him in Puerto Vallarta. We will celebrate his life on Saturday. He asked that, no, he didn't want anybody crying. He wouldn't want anybody carrying on, but he wanted a fabulous party, and he was worried about who was going to decorate. And I can assure him, the boys and the girls are spending all these 3 days to decorate for his party. He developed lung cancer 6 years ago and lived with lung cancer after recovering from the colon cancer. It was already a stage four when he had it. And he lived every single day that he could until the very end. It's still hard to believe he's gone. If people know anything about me, they know I love to cook. He was my biggest, best eater. The time sitting in my kitchen as I'm fixing him food, he's regaling me with stories, almost true. But he always told me my food was great too. I will miss him the rest of my life. He helped me be a better parent because he would say, girl, just love, just love, just love. One of my favorite things he said when people remember I became a parent, kind of accidentally, my sister-in-law died. And in a month, I had a child. And Danny said, well, girl, at least she's pretty and smart. She could be dumb and ugly, right? So that was Danny, always turning everything into how are we going to celebrate this? What is that bright side of it? I ask that we adjourn this Senate in his memory.
Thank you, Senator Eggman. The Senate extends its condolences to the family and friends of Dan Jimenez. If you'd please bring his name forward so he can be properly memorialized in the Senate Journal. Next up, we'd like to recognize Senator Ochoa Bogue.
That's hard to follow, Senator Eggman. Oh. So today, thank you, Mr. President and members. It is with great, It is with great sadness that I rise to adjourn in memory of Claire Campbell Teeters, who passed away on January 29, 2024, at age 76, after bravely battling Alzheimer's disease. The eldest of seven children, Claire was born in a military family in Michigan on July 31, 1947. In the mid-1960s, Claire attended Victor Valley College and then took a job at St. Mary's Hospital in Apple Valley. In the 1970s, she moved to Cala Mesa and then settled in Yucaipa, where she worked as manager of the radiology department at Yucaipa Medical Clinic. It was there she met Barbara Riordan, a member of the San Bernardino County Board of Supervisors. Claire was her field representative for 13 years. While working for Supervisor Reardon, Claire joined the Yucaipa Municipal Advisory Council as one of nine residents who advised the county on local issues, including the incorporation of the new city of Yucaipa. Following Supervisor Reardon's tenure, Claire became editor of the Yucaipa-Cala Mesa News Mirror in 1997, covering major local events until her retirement in 2017. A devoted historian, Claire served as the president of the Yucaipa Valley Historical Society and spent time volunteering at the museum. She was also a member of the Gem and Mineral Society and the Yucaipa Women's Club. In 1990, she joined the Yucaipa Rotary, was named Rotarian of the Year in 1994, and received a Rotary Lifetime Membership in 2022. Claire Teeters was considered by many as the matriarch of our city. She was known to call people out when they would act or speak less than honorably or truthfully. Her praise had weight. Claire is survived by her sons Michael Gray, Daniel Gray, and Jim Teeters, daughter Shelley Teeters, and grandson Corbay Gray. I wish Claire's family and many friends peace and comfort during this time of deep sorrow. I would be honored if this body would adjourn in her memory.
Thank you, Senator Ochoa-Bogue. Senate extends our condolences to the friends and family of Claire Teeters. Please bring her name forward so she can be properly memorialized in the Senate Journal. If there is no other business before the Senate, Senator McGuire, the desk is clear.
Thank you so much, Mr. President. Members, hope you have a wonderful weekend. Incredibly moving, adjourning memories. Thank you. The next floor session is scheduled for Monday, February 26th at 2 p.m.
The Senate will be in recess until 3 p.m., at which time the adjournment motion will be placed. We will reconvene Monday at 2 p.m.